Welcome back to the Real O Show podcast. Joining us for a part two discussion as one of our personal favorite guests is President Jeffrey Dockin of Adrian College. We asked him about his itch for starting a podcast after our first discussion months ago, but we really dive deep into the evolution of the internet and how it is putting pressure on higher education due to high costs. His solution is a platform called Rise, which allows Adrian to offer high priority majors from other schools for a much cheaper cost while being able to offer a real college experience, sports opportunities, and some of the best facilities you can have. It's always a pleasure getting to speak with Dockin, and if you enjoy the show, please subscribe for new weekly podcasts. Thank you. Welcome back to Real O Show podcast. We have a very, very special guest, but I want to introduce myself as always. I'm Zachary.
I'm Joshua.
And we are interviewing the president of Adrian College, President Dockin, who we also had on episode 42. So you definitely need to go check it out. Dockin has been getting raving reviews from that. And
the legend.
And I want to jump in on this question because I heard it from Joshua, but it kind of stopped after that. You got a little itch for a podcast after that. Where's that at?
That's right. Right. Well, you guys get full credit for number 42. I'll tell you, I don't think I had a whole lot to do with your success, but yeah, that kind of whetted my appetite. Not only do I now enjoy podcasts in large measure because they are so casual and they can be as long or as short as you want. Sort of when you're done talking, you're done talking. You don't have to like fill 60 minutes. But yeah, my PR office told me that I had to do one. And so I think I may do one. If I do one, it'll be with Adam Kruger, hockey coach, because he's probably the guy I know best on campus.
I love that.
And he can't get mad at me because I sign his checks.
I'm gonna be all over
you can
Adam.
Ask any question.
It's gonna be a big loss, and President Dockin's gonna be like, "All right, Adam, let's talk about last night.
Yeah, let's talk about the next national championship. When am I going to get my ring?
Yeah, right? We need another ring. I'm trying to get sized up here." Yeah.
No, but whatever. Are you doing the podcast right now then?
No, I haven't done one yet. But teeing it up.
I'm gonna be firing at Kruger when I see him. I'm gonna be like, "Oh, where's that podcast? We got to get this going.
Do it.
I'm gonna be firing
because he doesn't know it's coming.
I'm gonna hit him hard. I'm gonna fire him up.
Do you have a name for it? Have you thought about it?
I haven't even thought about it. Maybe you guys can help. Yeah, you're having more success.
We'll give it some thought.
So we would love to help. Any facet.
We'd love to help with the podcast. Honestly, that would
we'll
be great.
That's what I'm saying. That's why
I love it.
I'm a fan. But to get into this, so we were kind of talking a little bit before this, and you're like, "Man, what type of audience are you looking for?" And I think we kind of settled on, and I've never been asked that question, which is so interesting, where you're like, "Man, what audience?" You know, you have like these different levels.
He's got the professional. He's been professionally trained. We normally deal with everyone who's they've never been in front of the real.
So anybody, if you're on audio, need to go to the YouTube and check out his fit. This wasn't what he was wearing. I actually requested this.
I had to go cash, man. I had to get rid of the monkey suit. Everyone sees me in a monkey suit every day, and I couldn't do it. You know, the tie, the suit, it's not my thing.
We need your hair to lay down, like everybody was saying. That's why they got to see a different part of you. But I want to jump in where I have this question, and we got into it in the first podcast a little bit with online education. You know, at Adrian, you've been able to get classes from other schools or vice versa. Other schools can get classes from Adrian. So that evolution, which hasn't been seen before, at least in me and Joshua's life, where it's becoming very, very known and common, with the evolution of the internet, Web3, blockchain, NFTs, all of that, where are you at in that process, and how do you think about that with education, investing, life, like anything you've kind of gotten into with that?
Buddy, you're onto something here because a lot of people don't realize it, but I'll tell you straight up as a guy on the inside, higher education has big problems right now. And the biggest problem is just gotten too expensive. I mean, kids can't do it anymore.
It's true.
You know, they want to really move away. They want to move into a dorm, meet some new friends, you know, play sports, sing in the choir, student government, eat in the dining hall, maybe have a few beers. They can't do it. And so we need to figure out a way to bring down the cost of higher ed while still offering all the great stuff that we have in the past. So I'll make a very long story short. This became clear to me that we were Polaroid film in 1992, about 10 years ago, and that, you know, everyone was going to be in trouble who's trying to run these schools. And so I got together with about 100 other institutions and created a consortium of schools that's now sharing classes, which has allowed us to start 24 new majors in high-need fields, fields like you would love, you know, webcasting and computer science, right, and supply chain management and web design. I mean, things that students want to go into and can make a good buck, but we can't afford to offer it on our own. Yeah. So these schools are sharing courses, which starting one new major in a year is a big deal, right? You got to hire professors, create curriculum, give them retirement plan, salary, office space, all that. It's extremely expensive. But now we started 24 in 2.5 years because these schools said, you know what, we get it, and we're going to share some courses. So the end of this story is kids still get everything I just talked about, going away to college, making new friends, going to class, playing sports, but they can now have all these new majors that they didn't formerly have. So it's a platform. It's called Rise. A couple of guys that went to Harvard came out and lived with at the college, basically lived with me, took an office next to me for 2 years and put this together. And students now, we got over 3,000 students taking these classes all across the United States.
And I'm curious because I want to, it's a great answer, but I almost want to back it up to almost like your childhood or as you were growing up, because you didn't really grow up with the internet. And I'm so fascinated where I think the internet obviously is like taking over. It's everything.
For sure.
So what is your view on it? Because you kind of grew up with it and has seen the evolution where me and Joshua, again, when we were born, like it was already started. Like we grew up playing Xbox.
Yeah, you're
we
native.
Up on the internet. Yeah. We grew up on MySpace with social media. So we've kind of grown with it. Where is your like viewpoint on it? Good, bad, indifferent? Like we need it as humans with the information. Like where are you at in that process?
Well, I'm probably like a lot of people. I love the internet right from the get-go and everything except what I did. And what I did was taught students the traditional way, right, of going away to school and that sort of personal interaction with a professor, not through a screen. And I fought it too long. The first book I wrote in 2015, I said, don't get into online education. It's garbage. And in 7 years, I switched 100%. I realized, there are classes now that are being done well and should really get college credit for it. So I fought it like crazy to my own demise, but I've come around on it. And I'm an optimist generally. I think most leaders are. And it's just one of those things that I think we need to embrace and figure out how to use it to our advantage because it's not going anywhere.
I'm actually really curious because we were talking about this in the car, and I think the platform is definitely the future of like online education is probably the future, especially as we move into like the economy that we're in now where things are kind of slowing down a little bit. And like other than the platform that like pushing online school, because there is a definite need. And I see the future as you're talking about, schools only get more expensive. And this is a way to make it more, you know, affordable for everyone. So as the economy is mostly like, you know, it's down a little bit, how do you navigate a college, a university, when the economy is down rather than when it's up?
Yeah, so you do it, I would suggest, in a hybrid fashion. And what I want to do is take your question, if you will, and let me pose it this way. I've got to have butts in seats every year, right? I've got to have students in school. And they've got 3,000 colleges and universities to choose from. You know, Adrian isn't in Manhattan. It's not in L.A. A lot of cornfields around
here. No doubt.
So you got to have a good dog and pony show when kids get here to say, yeah, I'm going to this school. So I first went to the human element, and I said, what do humans want? Do you guys want when you go to college? What did I want when I went to college? What do all, you know, 18-year-olds want? And I boiled it down to four things. They want an education. That's fine. That's why they're going to college. They want to compete in sports, right? They want to meet some new friends, drink a few beers, have some fun, right? And they want to do something else that I probably shouldn't talk about on this podcast. Right? Just leave it at that.
But that's, we all know, but that's fair.
Hey, that's human nature.
That's human nature.
And if you think you're going to, you know, fight human nature, then, it's game over.
It's inevitable.
Oh, I mean, Steve Jobs, you realize, man, everybody wants to be able to do everything from a phone. It's just human nature, right?
So just let it happen.
That's exactly right. I mean, Bezos, human nature. They want convenience. Deliver everything to my door. Guy's a multi-billionaire from that.
How do you?
So I locked onto that, but you said in tough times, what do you do in tough times? You develop something like we've developed with this platform where you say to kids, you can get a great education here and a bunch of majors where you're going to make serious dough and have a great life. But fortunately, I can do it in a way that's less expensive for you and for me.
Right. No, that's very interesting. My mind instantly went to like, how do you build all those needs? So like you said, you know, they want an education, they want to play sports. Like how do you build the infrastructure of that to give them everything you want? Because in hindsight, like those are all, when you say those things to me, I'm like, Yeah, that makes complete sense. But what are like the steps that actually go into that? Like, is it hiring more bodies to, you know, make the atmosphere better? Or is it like, oh, we're going to put a new ice rink to, you know, like what are those things that make, you know, everyone excited to be like, I'm going here?
Yeah, yeah. So for me, obviously, it started with facilities, you know, $125 million in new facilities. I said, look, people are smart. If they want to play hockey in college and they go to a college to look at it and say, well, we love hockey and we offer hockey, but you're playing at a rink 10 miles from here. Oh, and your ice time is 11 at night on a Thursday. It's going to be, forget it. So you've got 100%. To have facilities. Young people love facilities. You know, we're about to build an indoor, basically football, rugby, you know, soccer arena right now, almost $10 million.
Do you have any renderings for that?
We do.
I'd love to put them on the.
Oh, that's
put them
wild.
On the, if you have some renderings, I'd love to show them.
You got it, buddy.
Because I would love to talk about the ice rink too, because I know the ice rink's gonna get a little facelift.
Champion Center.
I was about to holler at Krug and be like, "Yo, I need to get some pictures. I want to see what's going on up here.
It's gonna be sweet.
I'm so excited.
You come back, you can hang with the boys in the rink in a nice lounge.
When's that going down?
We're just putting the final touches on it right now. So I would imagine we'll start building that. There's all these ordinances that you got to meet, but I would imagine we'll start building on it in the next 6 months.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So like, what is that hockey season?
Hockey season's about. It's starting right now.
Yeah.
The boys are geared up. No, have you seen the team yet? Is the team looking good this year?
I met with the boys in the locker room. I'm going to skate with them Monday because we're on fall break.
That's good.
Still throwing the pads now and again.
You got to get the boys right.
I'm curious. That it made me smile when you're like, oh, I met the boys. What's that talk like when you first talk to the team?
Oh.
Like, what are you trying to instill? And obviously you're a leader, you lead so many people in Adrian College. Obviously hockey has got a special place in your heart. So what are you telling the boys? You know, are you a little stern? Are you a little, you know, happy, excited you're here? But there's definitely expectations to win.
Yeah, I think it's certainly more stern than it is happy-go-lucky.
For sure.
Because at the end of the day, it's about getting the job done and being successful. And, you know, I think what I told them was, like anything in life, no one's going to hand it to them. And you want to win, you want to have a ring on your finger, you know, 12 months from now, it starts today. Not only with how you play on the ice, but how you work out off the ice, how you eat, how you sleep, how you dress. Everything has got to be focused on how do I win? And the second way that I think people can be successful in those moments is by understanding that nothing trumps hard work. You know, and Tom Izzo talked to my leadership class. I may have told you guys this on the last podcast. I don't remember. He said, I'm not the tallest guy, best looking guy. I wasn't a great college basketball player. He goes, I'm not the best game day manager. And he goes, I'm not even the best X's and O's guy. Yeah. He said, but nobody will outwork me. And look at where it got him.
Absolutely.
National championship and all kinds of other, you know, success.
It's the best thing you could tell people, honestly.
Yeah. So you know, one of the things that I'm really turned off by these days is that this whole victim mentality and I've been done wrong. People have been done wrong. Yeah. It's about merit. That's why I love sports.
Yeah.
Get the job done.
It's very black and white, whereas like human nature kind of gives you these outlets, but one thing I've learned in like the last couple of years, and I see you interacting with my LinkedIn post, so you'll understand where I'm coming from. You know, a lot of things in the last like couple of years that has helped me is you take ownership to everything that happens in your life, good, bad, ugly.
Amen.
And even if it's bad, everybody has bad shit. Everybody has harsh environments, bad parents,
that's right.
Good parents. Sometimes parents are too good to their kids.
It's not easy for anybody.
And I think that ability has changed my outlook on life. At what age did you realize like no one's coming to save me? Like I gotta fucking do this.
Yeah, I'd say two ages. One, when I was 11 and a half years old, my dad said, get a paper route and start getting up at 6 a.m. delivering a route 7 days a week, 365. And I know it sounds like a crazy example.
That's a good
When
dad.
I said that, I was like, damn, I was like, that's nothing better. Get up at 6 a.m.
In Michigan with the winters, that sucked. And I did it for 5 years and I still have bad memories from it.
Yeah.
But it taught me something about work ethics, right? And I think right after I got out of college, I was in broadcast journalism and I really wanted to break into the TV, you know, sort of reporting market. And I knew that I had to get from the tall stack to the short stack, you know, of resumes. I needed to get out of them, as my friend Needle Cobain says, the sea of sameness. And that's when you really need to start thinking, okay, what creatively can I do that separates me from everybody else? And that's another thing that I think young people need to hear is it's not just, you know, get your college degree and then someone hands you a job for 80 grand that ultimately becomes 200 grand. It's like, no, that's just, you know, get you to the door. Now to get in the door, you got to figure it out. And it's tough. So those are sort of the two times in my life that I remember thinking, hey, I got to do something different, you know, and it worked for me.
I truly love that because I was a bakery guy. So I worked in the bakery and I was like up at 4 a.m. hustling in the bakery. And I always thought to myself, I was like, that taught me one. I realized how much more you can get done in the day when you wake up early. That was the first thing it taught me. And the second thing was like, yo, this is hard work, but it's like it's rewarding. It's rewarding to work hard. It's rewarding to do the things that no one's willing to do. And Zachary says it all the time. He's like, you know, I know a lot of, you know, I don't know many unsuccessful people that wake up at 5 a.m., but I know a lot of successful people that do. And I was like, you know, hey, there's a lot to that.
Takes effort. It's just sure. hard because fuck, it's just like working out. I told Joshua this, and I think I was talking to other people about this. I've been working out 5 to 6 days a week since I've been in seventh grade.
Wow.
Like, yeah. I've been in that big of a zen.
Yeah.
And I would say it has not gotten easier. If anything, it's gotten harder. And the fact that I'm still able to be like, fuck, you just got to do it. Like, I tell people this all the time. The hardest part is just showing up.
That's just exactly
show up,
right.
Just show up and try.
Honestly.
Just show up and honestly. Try and see what happens. Like, see what happens.
I'll say it another way. My favorite word in the English language, persistence.
Yeah.
Just keep coming at them. Never giving up, never backing down. Nobody gets to tell you no, and you just keep coming at them. And when you look at people who are successful, they never, ever stop coming at them. You know, Bezos was stuffing books in his basement into, you know, brown paper, you know, mailings for years before he became an
absolutely.
None of these people just get handed the job. They stay with it. And, the other thing that I think is helpful for maybe your viewers and where I think college kids miss it a lot, and I talk to my class about this because I teach this class on leadership, the biggest mistake that young people make is they're not opportunistic. And what I mean by that is opportunity usually comes into your life in the form of people.
Right.
And these people sort of come into your life and you either see it, seize the moment, you know, use it to your advantage or both of your advantages. And then, you know, move on and move up. But what happens is people are like, I don't want to bug this guy. And I don't, maybe I'll feel a little weird or maybe he won't want to help me. You know, so what can I say? No, big deal. And people that are successful that give you opportunities are moved on. If it takes you 5 minutes longer than it should, they're gone.
For sure.
For sure.
And that's so because the opportunity, the people, the network, now you've got what you need to be successful. And people are just too worried about bothering somebody or I don't know what. Yeah, that was a big opportunity.
It's very interesting because I look at it the very opposite. I always look at everything like if I ask, say you, to align me with someone that you're friends with, that should be a no-brainer. I'm like, hey, President Doc, I'd love for you to connect me with X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And if you connected me to them, down the road, I kind of owe you a little bit. So now you're going to come back and you're like, hey, I would love for you to come. And now it's like, hey, he hooked me up with this. So it's like,
exactly.
Having like,
I love that.
Owing someone like to just use something like, yo, I now owe you one. And it's like, that is like the beautiful thing of friendship. Like I'm helping you out. You help me out. And that's how you just keep stacking up. But I do want to go on because we've talked about the leadership class and I regrettably didn't take the class.
Was he teaching at the time?
Yes. And I think it was early. And, but I didn't.
It may have conflicted with your practice schedule, honestly.
There's only like one class. It's only once a semester.
One class every other year.
Oh,
see. Yeah, this is the year. I'm doing it right now.
And that's where I want to get into this. One, how did that class even start? Was it one day you're like, you know what? This is a class we should be teaching. And who better to teach it than the leader of the university? So how did that even come about?
Yeah, so it really came through two ways. First is I had been doing this job 10 or 12 years, and I literally was like, I got to get out of this. Like, it's killing me here. It's, you know, I'm just, I need something different in my life. And so I called in the vice president for academic affairs. Her name was Agnes Caldwell. I go, Agnes, I got to do something different. I want to teach a class. And she said, what do you want to teach on? I go, I don't know. Let's just call it leadership. And she's like, well, what's the curriculum? I go, I don't know. Just put leadership in the registration book. I'll figure it out. So that was like 6 months before the class started. So then like a month before, I'm like, oh, God, you know, I got to figure this thing out.
I got to figure it out. Yeah.
So which led to the second way that it came together. What I hear from students a lot is, man, we want from practitioners. We don't want to learn everything through a book, through a lecture, from somebody it's who true. Hasn't done it.
Yeah.
So I thought, I got a pretty good Rolodex after, you know, 10 or 15 years of this job. So I started calling everybody that owed me one that was a great leader.
Yeah.
I called the governor. Governor came in and talked to the class. I called Izzo. Yeah. I mentioned him. Yeah. He came in to talk to the class. I called in, obviously, I know a lot of college presidents. They came in and taught the class. I brought in congressmen, senators. I brought in leaders from the church, from all kinds of different areas of life, leaders from science.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I'm not going to tell you what to talk about. Just tell these students what they need to do to be great leaders and be successful. And it's taken off. I mean, I get 5,200 kids every semester. And you know from being here, that's a big class.
That's a big class. I mean.
But back to the last point, I tell all these kids, I know you now. Ask me for a recommendation. I'll write you a recommendation.
Yeah.
Out of 50 to 100 kids, you want to know how many actually follow through on that?
Two.
2 to 5. We both got it right. Hey, 2 to 5. That's it.
Hey, it's cool, but
I feel like people are afraid to ask though, because yes. I will say though, when I tell people that I'm like, I talk to the president of my college all the time. They look at me, they're like, what? They can't even fathom it. They're like, I don't even know my president of my college's name. And I'm like, it's just a different atmosphere. I will say that I think Adrian does it very well. Where you actually are hiring professors and people that are teaching classes that have actually done it. Like one of my favorite teachers here was Gretchen, Dr. Gretchen Whitmore. I want to say her last name was.
Maybe that would be the
Gretchen. That's the governor, but Gretchen
Carroll.
Gretchen Carroll.
Okay,
sorry, Gretchen, but Gretchen Carroll, one of my favorite professors that we had. Everyone loved her, but
she
was
fantastic. Still is.
Yeah, but she was. You know, she had been a lawyer for a long time, and she taught one of our business law classes.
Practical experience.
Yes, and I loved it. And she was. She'd be like, she wouldn't just be like, oh, this is the textbook here. She'd be like, this is shit that I've actually done. I actually went, these are legit cases that we're going through. And it was like, cool, you're learning stuff that's real life. And I didn't want to be a lawyer, but I was like, learning these things are like just business law. It's like, it's good to know things like that. There's still things that from that class, I'm like, I still know that shit just because of her.
100%. So, and I'll tell you, I tell my kids in my class, save your notes forever. Because when you start getting professors like Gretchen Carroll who can tell you stories and what it's real, it'll be relevant 10 years from now.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, go back and look at the notes.
Well, it's like Gretchen, she's been in it, so she can help write recommendation letters. She can help, you know, I have friends in this that can help you with this. So it's definitely very viable. I'm kind of curious. One, this is a selfish question because I'm just curious. Do you think Adam Krug's going to be here forever? I'm curious. I was just thinking about that. I was like, you know, like Adam, like if he won another national championship, would he stay? You think, like your personal opinion?
Yeah. And I'll give you my personal opinion. First of all, my opinion is I love Kruger.
I love Kruger.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, Kruger got me something that I've wanted since I was put on my first pair of ice skates when I was 7 years old, which is a national championship. He obviously he's got sort of a famous name now in the business.
Definitely.
And no, I don't think he'll be here forever. When I hired him, I said, I'm not hiring you unless you can give me 5 years because I need to know that this isn't just a stop along the road and these kids that you're going to recruit, you can tell, you know, you're going to be here for their time here. And he, you know, he's a good man. He told me he would and he did. And now he's up to, I think, 10 years now.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it's got to be close.
But no, I think that somebody will scoop Kruger. But I also think that we've had enough success now that if we have to replace him, there'll be a real good coach that'll be standing there waiting. And I want what's best for Kruger.
For sure.
100%.
I was just thinking that because I'm like, if you look at Adrian right now, like the coaches that have been here, like they go here and they move on to somewhere really, really good.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Philly just got you know, Adam Phillips, he just went to Miami of Ohio. He's an assistant coach. I mean,
And well, Mike Towns.
Exactly.
Up in Michigan State.
Exactly. Man. And then, you know, even before that, you know.
But here's the difference between Kruger and so many other coaches that I have. Kruger obviously has an incredible record. I actually think he's the most winningest coach, if that's a word, over the last 10 years at any level in hockey in America right now. It's like over 800 winning percentage. Kruger wins a national championship. What's the first thing he does a year out? Gets in touch with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Hooks up with their assistant coach, goes down there to spend 3 or 4 days away from his family, little kids, you know, they've got hockey, they've got dance, they've got that, so that he can learn, he can, you know, be in the meetings, looking at tape. I mean, that's how you get to be successful, right?
You got
to
put yourself around people that are doing it. I saw this stat. It was like, when you're around someone who's productive, and I'm not saying that, you know, but like, if you're around someone who's productive, it makes you 15% more productive. If you're around people that aren't productive, you lower your percentage by like 30% of just being less productive. So it's like anything, if you want to go to that spot, if NHL is the spot you want to be,
that's right,
put yourself up with NHL players, is going to pull you up inevitably.
I could not agree more, man. You're known by the company you keep. And we all have those people in our life too. I mean, this goes for me, and hopefully for you guys too, where when you're in their midst, you're like, this person like elevates my game.
Yeah.
Yes. Like I want to be just a little better. I want to sound a little more articulate. I want to think deeper thoughts. I want to do better things. And you know, you don't have to hang out with those people 24/7, 365, but you ought to spend some time in every day with those kinds of people. Because you'll get there if you hang with those people.
That's kind of why I've liked New York so much.
What's the saying? It's like you're the resemblance of like five people you hang around the most,
you're
or whatever.
You're the average of the five people you hang around the most.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which is true though. I mean, if you're hanging around the wrong people, you're inevitably going to be in that wrong group.
But if
you put yourself with a bunch of billionaires, I bet you at some point you get pulled up with them. You know, it's just inevitable.
I completely agree.
And I want to stay on the coach thing because I think it's super interesting from somebody who is overlooking everything. How much of your thought process goes into, yes, you want to win, yes, you want to bring the facilities, yes, you want to put a good product on the field, ice, baseball field, like whatever it is. What percentage of your like brain power is going to, if I have to replace this coach, where am I going next?
I would say I don't think about where I'm going next, because with sports and with coaching, you very much have to live in the moment, right?
For sure.
So when I'm hiring somebody, I tell them, look, bud, I need three things. The first thing I need are bodies. And so if you're out there winning, but you're not bringing kids in, as a school that needs kids, I need bodies. That's the accountability part of this. The second thing I need are kids that can get the job done in the classroom. Right. At the end of the day, as much as I love sports, the most important thing that happens every day is in the four walls where the learning and teaching takes place with people like Gretchen Carroll. But I tell them the third thing I want, and I'm not going to apologize for this, are wins. And Americans are winners. And when that pandemic broke out, we didn't want, you know, a vaccine that sort of did work, sort of didn't. We wanted a vaccine that was going to win. You know, when, you know, we're in diplomacy or in a war or whatever, we want to win. And Americans are winners. That's why people look to us. That's why the southern border has thousands of people they're not trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
They're trying to get into this place.
For sure.
Because they know that winning matters. And so, you know, winning the job, winning the girl that you want to date. You know, I mean, what, you want to come in second? If you're in second place for the girl you want to date, you're headed back to the bar, man.
Yeah, tough luck.
Right? I mean, let's be honest.
It's true. I mean, winning is, that's one thing that I think has definitely gotten out of society is winning doesn't matter anymore. When it's like, I've been saying it in our work. I'm like, yo, I want a scoreboard here. I want a fucking scoreboard on the wall because I'm going to just dominate everyone. And I want everyone else to look at that and be like, damn, I got to go up against this guy every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's what I want. I want a scoreboard.
That's right. And if you do the right things, this is back to your question, Zach, you do the right thing every day with the people in front of you, the wins will take care of themselves and that next step will take care of himself too. It's like Kruger, right? We did it with Fogues. We did it with Kruger. Now, I'm not worried about who replaces Kruger someday. I mean, honestly, I hope it's a long way off because I love Kruger. But
I mean, there's definitely going to be people jumping at that job for sure they did. It's this program is elite. It's elite. Let me get just to wrap things up. I would love a season prediction for the men's hockey team, NCAA team. Give me a win total. Where do you see the, obviously whole new team. You haven't really watched them, but like feng shui from what Kruger's been saying, like, can I get a little prediction on what you see this year?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to start out slow because they have something like 10 freshmen on the team. When I say slow for us would be 6-4, 7-3, something like that. I mean, we're going to win, but we're not going to win at 80 or 90% necessarily. But, you know, we've got talent between the pipes. I don't know if you know Stewie, terrific goalie. He's brought some guys in, and that can go a long way, as you know, early in the year. Guy who can stop rubber. And we got Kruger. And we got all the facilities here and the culture of winning. And that's what I told the boys when I met with them. I said, look, you're sitting in the locker room of the best hockey program in the entire country right now. And you need to own that, claim that. I remember, when you were playing there in that COVID year, we were playing all those Division I teams, and we had some losses. And I remember coming out of your mouth, we don't lose. I don't care if it's against Bowling Green when they're ranked 15 in the country, or Lake State or anyone else. We win here.
Yeah. I mean, when I came here to this campus, that was drilled into every freshman's head. They were like, we're not losers here.
Right.
You're a winner. If you're a loser, kick rocks.
Yeah.
Because we're not about that.
Oh, the statue going into the stadium, expect to win. That's the mantra around here, right?
I love that. Expect to win.
Yeah.
Well, Doc, this is always a pleasure.
I hope that worked for your boys and your listeners.
Oh, dude, we're gonna. The listeners love it, and I will say, this is, again, we just open ourselves up to a new part. When we come back in a couple months, we'll have to come back at it.
Hey, anytime you want. I love it as much as you do.
And you got to get that podcast going.
We got to get the podcast going. We're gonna.
I can put a lasso on Kruger and get him into my first one.
We gotta make him happen. I'm gonna be like, Kruger, we gotta get you going. Let's be honest, Kruger loves the camera. Every time we get him on the camera, he's good with it. He can spit it.
He's got a nice podcast. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say he's got a face perfect for radio, but you know, I probably shouldn't, because I like the guy so much.
But I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure getting to talk to you.
All right, boys. Thanks for coming to campus.
Thank you.
Bye bye. I never had to tell my dogs we on roof for greatness. They paper kitties, they want money more than they want fake shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. We too on par for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We buy the box, we dripping. We buy the box, we fall. My emotions stay warm. Yeah. And I ain't never gonna slip. One by my mama house. Won't see my brothers get ripped. I tell you why, man. Watch me get my racks. And we bought so hard they think my niggas selling crack. We was pushing packs for 2600 a pound. We was down, probably had some product in your town. But now we back, same straight for all my niggas, call my fam. And I made about 10 racks up off these features in the air. For my grandma, hope she know that this for you and you and him. For my brothers, for my family, for my mama, for my friends. I gotta fight for my brothers, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on the road. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fake shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. So I'm part for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bought a box, we drippin'. We bought a box, we fall.